There's nothing like salvation without a call. Do you see? Let's go back to that scripture again. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9. I really want you to believe that you are called. Yes, I really want you to believe that if you are saved, it also means you are called. Unless you are not saved. Ask your neighbor, are you saved? Yes. And I believe you are saved. Yes. I believe you are born again. Amen. And that if you are saved, all right, it means that you are also called. Because nobody calls someone without a reason. Yes. Anybody you call the person for a reason. So he said, who has saved us and called us? So salvation comes first and then the calling follows. Amen. With a holy calling, not according to our works. So this calling has nothing to do with what you have done or what you haven't done. This, but according to his own purpose. Anybody who would take a phone to call, it means that you have a reason. There's a real reason why you are calling this person. And so if God says that I have saved you and also called you, then it means that the calling follows with a purpose. And this purpose also comes with grace. Because nobody can accomplish the purpose of God unless God himself grants you his grace. That's why Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And the grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. For I labored more abundantly than they all. Do you see? But yet not I, but the grace that was upon me. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10. So it's that the grace is what makes you accomplish the purpose of God. The grace. That's why you should not be afraid to follow the will of God and to follow the purpose of God. Because grace is already available. Amen. Yes. If you have to go on mission, you shouldn't be afraid to go on missions. Because there's grace available for going on missions. Once is the purpose of God. And how do you know if something is the purpose of God? Because the word of God says so. Yes, I mean the word of God is littered with God's purpose and God's will. It's so easy to know the will of God. It's very easy to know the will of God. You just have to read the words of Jesus. And you will know what God wants from you. Amen. Yes. When I was going on missions, I believe by the grace of God it was going to work because I knew I was in the will of God. I was following the last words of Jesus. Yes. I was following the last words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 28 verse 18 says that for all power, these were the last words of Jesus. He said, for all power and authority is given unto me. Do you see? In heaven and in earth. Jesus said, I am the one, what I'm about to tell you, I'm going to talk to you out of the power and authority that is given to me, both in heaven and on earth. That go ye therefore and teach all nations. All nations. Yes. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Teach them to observe that except a man be born again, he shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Teach them to observe that righteousness. A man's life does not consist of the abundance of the things that he possesses. Teach them that men ought to pray always and not to faint. Teach them that keep teaching. Go and teach them to observe all the teachings I've given you. Go and also teach all nations to observe. Observe my teachings. Then he said, and lo, I will be with you always unto the end. So anybody who rises up to say that, these things that Jesus said, I'm going to follow it. I'm going to obey it. Suddenly you have the support of Jesus. You have the presence of Jesus. That's why in Mark chapter 15, Bible says, and they went everywhere preaching, and God working with them with signs and wonders. Yes, once you follow it, the grace is available. That is why you should not be afraid to carry out anything that God wants from you, from the word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the Lord working with them. But in Matthew, he said, lo, I will be with you always. The NIV says, I will support you always. I will support you always. Wow. Yes. Hallmark of our church. That God has led the prophet to everything that he has done and is still doing is based on this scripture. Matthew 28 and Mark 16. That go into the nations. That's why we are into the nations. And it's like, it's a very difficult thing. It's not a small thing, but once you set this vision of Jesus Christ, God will support you. Amen. God will back you. You will get the backing of God. He will support you with people, money, everything. 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 So I'm just explaining to you that the purpose of God always comes with grace. Yes. So don't be afraid to be the purpose of God. Don't be afraid to follow the purpose of God. God has already made his grace available to accomplish his purpose. Amen. And that's what Paul was telling Timothy. That according to his own purpose and grace, which was ordained, foreordained before even the world began. Yes. So I want you to believe that God has not just saved you, but he has also called you with a special calling. It's a special calling because he is doing the calling. And he's calling you to his purpose. That his purpose will always be accomplished by his grace. His grace will be sufficient. The grace of God is what makes us be able to accomplish his purpose. I see you walking in your calling. And I see you accomplishing the purpose of God for your life. And I see the grace of God being bestowed upon you to accomplish God's purpose. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Matthew 22. From verse 1. This is one of the examples of how many are called. Amen. Jesus, one of the most powerful statements ever made by Jesus is in this chapter. I think verse 14, that many are called, but few are chosen. But before he came to this important statement, he explained, he gave us a scenario from verse 1. Let's read from verse 1 quickly. And Jesus answered and spoke unto them again by parables and said, verse 2, keep going. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. Say the kingdom of heaven.
The kingdom of heaven.
Yes. You see, every kingdom has its rules of engagement. Do you see? We have the kingdom of United. You have United Kingdom, isn't it? Yeah, this is a kingdom. This kingdom is different from the kingdom of Mozambique, where I come from. The way we do things is totally different from the way things are done here. Do you understand? Yes. Unfortunately, some of the examples are very bad from where some of us come from. Yes. The kingdom is very different. So I don't want to use my country as an example. Let me use another country. Okay. First time, or the first time I went to Singapore. You'll be there.
Yeah.
It was Prophet who took us there. You know, and before we went to Singapore, we were told to go on the internet and read about the rules. The answer of engagement of that kingdom called Singapore. That as you are going there, these are the things you must avoid. Rules and don'ts, do's and don'ts. Do you see? And then we're told that in that kingdom, you don't spit around. If you spit around, you'll be arrested, be caned, and sometimes be imprisoned. But some of us are coming from a kingdom where you can just spit around. There's no rule and there's no law to arrest you and to cane you. Yes. I know a certain kingdom that begins with alphabet G. You can wee anywhere. You can defecate anywhere. It's a type of a kingdom. Type of a kingdom. One day I was driving in my car and there was a traffic, main road in the city. Then I saw a man in suit, tie. He's gotten up right on the street, oh, the main street, highway. And he was wee-weeing. I said, wow, this is a kingdom. It's a kingdom. Yes. So many times you hear Jesus say, and the kingdom of heaven is like. Because he wants you to know that the kingdom you are part of, this is how things are done. And this is how things operate. And these are the rules and the principles that govern the kingdom. So maybe you are coming from another kingdom, but now that you are part of this kingdom, you need to know that in this kingdom, this is how things are done. Yeah, so Jesus most of the time said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto this. The kingdom of heaven is like unto this because you are now translated from another kingdom. The way you use things and see things over there, here, things are not like that. Over here, things are different. Yes, over here, we don't wee around like that. We don't just spit around like that. Yes. In Singapore, we went to a mall. I went to buy something, and as I was paying whatever, I forgot and left my phone on the counter. So I walked for almost 30 minutes away from the place, and I remembered I've left my phone. I came back and found the phone on the right there. Nobody has touched it. It has not moved. Hey! But I know a kingdom. As you are even on the phone, the guy is waiting for you to snatch it. Yes. As I'm here, I've seen a lot of ladies with beautiful Brazilian hair, Bolivian hair, Peruvian hair. I know a kingdom that begins with alphabet M. You are looking around with your nice Brazilian hair. Somebody will just remove it and go and sell it. Yes. As you are at a bus station waiting for a bus, somebody will just come and take it like that. It's gone. He's going to sell it. It's a kingdom. I don't think it happens in this kingdom. Yeah. So I have had church members who have come to church and their hair has been taken away. And they come to me and say, Bishop, they have taken my hair. It's a type of a kingdom. So you sisters, yeah, you are very lucky. Yes. So in this beautiful chapter, Jesus is showing us that the kingdom of heaven, they are all part of. This is how people, many are called, but few are chosen. It's an example. It's just showing that in this kingdom, God gives invitations to many people. Yes. If you are part of this kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, is that you are likely to have received an invitation because in this kingdom, things about this kingdom is that God is always inviting people. God is always calling people. God is always calling and inviting and asking people to come. Yes. And that you are likely to hear, come. 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 Yes, the Bible is littered with the word come. Over 2,000 times you hear the word come, come. Because in this kingdom, there's a lot of invitations. invitation to come to Jesus, invitation to be used by God, invitation to be a partaker of God's purpose and God's wisdom. This is how the kingdom operates. Yes. There's a lot of invitation going on. Many people are receiving invitations. Even to be at this camp, God is giving an invitation. It's an invitation. Yes, it's an invitation. So always remember that this kingdom that you are part of, one of the most commonest things about the kingdom is that God is always inviting people. God is always sending out invitation cards. God is always giving opportunities for people to do things. That's how this kingdom operates. It's full of invitations, of opportunities. Sit down. So the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. Verse 3. First, sent forth his servant to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. So like I said, God is always sending, he has already sent out invitations to people. He's bidding them, come, come, come. You are invited. Come and be part of it. Hallelujah. Amen. But the Bible said they will not come. Unfortunately, they will not come. Do you see? So it's not that you are not called. Just that many people will not come. Yes. The whole world has been invited to come to Jesus. Come unto me. All. All. Come unto me, everybody that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So if the world is 9 million people, 9 billion people, he has invited 9 billion people to come. All, not there's nobody excluded, all. But not everybody has responded to this invitation. So when you see somebody who has not responded to the call of God, or even the call to salvation, do you see? What you must know is that it's a person's decision. It's a person's choice. Invitation is extended to everybody. All. All. So this is how come many are called, but few end up being chosen. You see, God is not a respecter of persons. Yes, Peter taught that God was a respecter of persons. Is that God specially, you know, chooses people to use them. Do you understand? It's like he taught that he and the disciples were the only people goose. So he was shocked when God, by vision, showed him that even people who are despised are also chosen by him, by God. Yes. So when he saw in a vision how God chose Cornelius, do you see, who was despised in the eyes of Peter and the disciples, he was shocked. So he came to the conclusion in Acts chapter 9, verse 34. He said, now I perceive. He said, before he couldn't believe. He couldn't, he never, it was possible. He said, but now, Peter said, Acts 10, 34. 10:34, all right? Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is not respecter of persons. But in every nation, say in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness, that word follows his principles, the way things are done is accepted with him. Because Cornelius was praying and giving. Do you understand? It's a principle in the kingdom. If you pray and if you're a giver, God will respond to you in a certain way. Amen. Yes. Now I perceive that God really is not a respecter of persons. So I thought that, oh, I mean, we are the only ones that can be called or can be used by God. It's like you can be in a church and you look at, let's say, how our pastors can preach well and, you know, do certain things. You can sit in the congregation and feel that, oh, they are the ones who are called, but you are not called. Do you see? Yes, like God is a respecter. It's like God doesn't respect me. When I look at myself and my problems and my difficulties and how I'm struggling to even live a holy life and all that, it's almost like, as for me, there, God will never choose me or call me to do anything. Yes. Yes. It's like your holiness code is not working. You're struggling with your holiness code. So it's almost like God cannot use me. But God can use you. Yes, God can use you. How holy can you be? How holy can you be before God can use you? How righteous can you be before God can use you? There is none good. Yes, Romans 3:10. We are not good. Bible says even your so-called righteousness is like a filthy rag. It's like a filthy rag. Rag itself is dirty. Yes, and it's qualifying filthy. That's how we are. If you think you are holy, you are righteous. The Bible says your righteousness is like a filthy rag. You don't smell good. Yes. There is none good. Romans 3 verse 10. There is none good. So if you are trying to be Mr. Goody, goody, goody man, nice looking goody lady, before you God can use you, there is none good. You are going to wait for a long time. Yeah, there's none righteous. No, not one. Even Jesus, when he became a man, one day somebody said, good man, he was not happy with him at all. He faced the guy and said, why collect me good? Why are you calling me good? Then he pointed to the guy, there's none good except God. Yes. There is none righteous. No, look for that. Jesus said unto him, why callest thou? Mark 10:8, why callest thou me good? There is none good, but there is. That is God. Even Jesus Christ will not allow people to say good man or so. Don't try to. You see, some people, their aim is that if I can stop certain things, then I think that God can use me. But you'll be surprised to find out that as you serve God, rather God will make you into his righteousness. Yes. Yes. You will see that serving God and the activities of God will not even give you time to play the fool and the nonsense. Then you will see that now you have people to preach to. So instead of watching certain things that are not healthy, you'll be on Ducky Word Mills YouTube channel and you are watching because you have to go and preach. Yeah. That's where the goodness is coming from. The round. You see that you are looking for the round. The round circle, and you are going to punch it, and before I realize, messages are being released. Yes, so instead of searching for big mama whatever, you are searching for messages on the anointing, on healing, and different things. That's where your goodness is going to start from. In teaching, in preaching, you see that you become more occupied with spiritual things. Before you realize, certain things you were struggling are gone. Yes. You end up praying. You see, waking up to pray, doing different things. And some of these struggles will eventually leave you little by little before you realize you are on top of your game. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sit down. We are still in Matthew 22. Again, he sent for other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden. Behold, I've prepared my dinner. All right? My oxen and my fatlings killed, and all things are ready. come unto the marriage. You see, the word come is repeated. Yes. Come unto the marriage. Come. But the Bible says, but they made light of it. Yes. People trivialize the invitations of God, the opportunities that God gives. They made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. Yes. This is how people have treated God. They've made light of God's calling and invitation and opportunities that God gives them. Wow. Yeah. But don't make that mistake. Any opportunity to serve God or to come nearer to God is an opportunity you must embrace. Do you see? And take it seriously. Yes. Because you may never know. Yes. What God is trying to do with your life. I went to Mozambique with a text message I received from the prophet. He was in South Africa and he sent me a message. Apache, you are going to Mozambique. And my response of, does it? D-A-Z-I-T. Does it? That's how I responded to my call to be on the mission field. Yes. And I didn't make light of it. And to show that I was serious, as soon as he came, he told me, tell your wife to come now and marry and go on the mission. And my wife was here in London. She was in the Latin branch. This sister sitting here. Oh, sit down. Yes. And I told her that the plan was that she was going to be here for about 1 year. I was going for a working holiday visa. And she was supposed to be here for about a year. Work and make some pounds. So that she will come back and pound all the other currencies. Yeah. So I said, come. He said, oh, but I just started working. I said, you know what? I've been given the opportunity to go to Mozambique. And this is I must marry now before I go. Does it? Yes. So I said, we agreed. You are coming to be here for about a year, but I've changed my mind. Come now. Stop everything you are doing. Resign from the job and come. He said, oh, can't I stay for even 6 months? I said, no. She was staying with her sister. Her sister called to negotiate with me. I said, no way. At the point I told her, I said, listen, I'm giving you up to this date. If you don't come, the relationship is over. Oh, yes. Because I don't want to make light of my calling and the opportunity God is giving to me. Yes. Yes. It's an invitation. You want to make light of your invitation. You want to make light of your calling. She's here, you can ask her. And I told her, listen, you don't have to worry, force yourself to marry me. You can marry a doctor, a lawyer. You are a nice girl. You can find somebody in the UK there. It will not worry you. You don't have to change, relocate back to Ghana to come to Mozambique. I gave her all the conditions. Yeah. But if you are serious about me, I'm giving you up to this month to decide and come. Else it's over. Oh, yes. So this was November. And she called me and said, I'm coming. I'm coming. Yes. She also didn't make light of her calling. Yes. Yes. So then she came. February. She was there. And then we had crash counseling. Wow. 6 months became 2 months. Yes. We married in April 30th. And 3 months after, I went to the mission and she joined me. Oh, yes. I didn't make light of my calling. The opportunity. Light of your calling. The opportunity God is giving to you. Say, come. They made light of the invitation. Yes. Your whole life, everything depends on the opportunity God is giving to you. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They made light of it. I saw my invitation to go to Mozambique. Look, you can ask my wife. I fasted, prayed for 100 days. Oh, yes. I didn't want to make light of it. I was as serious as whatever. And I went. And look at how things has turned out to be. Yes. But you see, imagine I said, no, I'm not going. I'll go next year. I want my wife to be in London for one more year. Get some time, more pounds and come. So we go and pound Metikashi, Mozambique. No. No. He that saves his life will lose it. Yes. But he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Yes. Sit down. See Matthew 22. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them, spied and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was angry. And he sent for his armies and destroyed their murderers and burned up their city. Verse 8. Then said he, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidding were not worthy. I pray that you be worthy.
Amen.
Verse 9. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you find, bid to the marriage. I can tell that many of us probably were not in God's plans to use us. But it's because some people rejected the call. So he sent his servants to the highways. That's why I said that I was found on the highway. I was on my way to the drinking spot. Maybe people in church who were born again and they were good, they will not respond to the call. So God left all of them and came to the highways and found some of us. Gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good. Say, both bad and good.
Both bad and good.
Yes. And the wedding was furnished with guests. Yes. So God called both bad and good. Yeah, God's invitation to both bad and good. Because God knows that certain people who are good has wept, purged them with his blood, and they will not respond to the call. They will not respond to the call. People have been in the church for years. They will not respond to anything that God says. So now he extends the invitation to everybody, both good and bad, to come. So those servants went out into the highways. And when the king came into, verse 11. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw that a man which had not on a wedding garment. Do you see? Verse 12. And he said unto him, friend, how comest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Okay? Verse 13. Then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot and take him away. And cast into utter darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 14. For many are called, but few are chosen. So in this beautiful scripture, you will see that there are many things that disqualifies people from being used by God. Do you get it? Yes, there are many. And I've just mentioned one of them, that many make light of the opportunity that is given to them. You see people who have gone on mission field and they make light of the opportunity. They won't do what is supposed to be done. Do you see? They won't wear the right garment. And in the end, it's as though they were not even called. So you see, for many are called. So five facts about the call of God. Number one, many are called. Many are called. Hallelujah. Yes. This is a fact of life. Many, many people are given opportunities. Many are called by God. But few end up making the most of these opportunities. Amen. Yes. Many are called, irrespective of your background. God can call you. And God is calling you. Many are called. Many are called to be saved. Many are called to serve the Lord. Many are called to become pastors. Many are called to become prophets. Many are called to become shepherds. Many. God never calls few people. He calls many. He calls people individually, but collectively. Many. Many are called. But few respond to the call. Yes, few end up being chosen because only few respond to the call of God. And I don't want any of you here to belong to the many who don't respond to the call of God. Because there are a lot of you here, very young group, 17 to 30 years. That's the best season of your life. That's the best time of your life. I went on a mission field at 26. Preaching, pastoring people at the age of 20. Yes. At 22, I was pastoring a church of about 600 people on campus. Yes. Having all nights, crusades, as a student, doing different things. We started branches. We had only one church. We started branches in the university. It's a fair that we initiated that it was possible to have branches within the university. Wow. Yes, I was 22 years old. So, never think that you are too young to attempt great things for God. No, 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 no. Our prophet started pastoring people at the age of 15. At 15, he had sheep that he would visit during holidays. He had adult members that he would follow them up in their homes to visit them, to encourage them, to share scriptures with them at 15. Amen. Amen. At 12 years, Jesus will have a personal retreat. Stay in the temple for 3 days. 12 years. He had personal retreat. He had retreated from his home and his family. And he was in the temple. The last place his parents ever thought they would find him. He was there for 3 days. Bible says, sitting at the feet of the doctors. Learning, hearing, and asking them questions. Personal retreat at the age of 12. And when his mother came and found, he said, son, why have you done this to us? We have been at the radio station. We have gone on CNN. We have gone on Al Jazeera. Looking for you everywhere. You know, some years ago, there was a little girl who got missing, Madeline or something. Eh? Madeline McCann. Have they found her? Yes. Now, I'm sure she has finished university somewhere. Even married, had a wedding or something. Yeah. They were everywhere. It was all over the world. News, CNN, BBC, Al Jazeera. Yes. If you had CNN and all those things those days, that's how see, Jesus' picture would have been on screen. Missing chart, breaking news. They went for whatever and then they can't find and all that. So when they found him, they were so sad. Why have you done this to us? Our heart has been broken. We have been living in fear. We haven't slept for days. Jesus, why hast thou dealt with us this way? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. We've been crying sleepless night. Then in verse 49, Jesus said, how is it that you sought me? Huh? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? I'm attending to my father's business. I'm preparing myself, my master's, my father's business.
What a child.
So you see, as you have come here for 3 days, you are just trying to be like Jesus. Yes, sitting at the feet. Do you see? Learning, hearing and learning, and asking questions. And your questions are being answered as preaching is going on. Yes, because God is going to use you. You are the next big pastor in town. Yes, I'm telling you. So we are not doing anything odd. Jesus spent 3 days. Because he could have spent the 3 days somewhere else. Some of you were in school, but you were somewhere. 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 They thought you were in school learning. You were in another country. You bought a ticket to go for a weekend getaway in France, in Paris. You have gone to Milan. Yes. Meanwhile, they left you in school and they thought you were in school. Yes. The people are at the back. I don't understand. Everybody is standing. You are sitting. Who are you? How many of you know that? How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know somebody that you thought the parents thought he was, but she was actually somewhere in another place. At least you know somebody like that. Not you, but you know somebody like that. And then when we ask you to come and sit at the feet of Jesus for 3 days, hearing, learning, and asking questions, you are accusing us. And you have all sort of minds against the church. But this is what people do. Yes. I have a lady pastor who used to tell me, he said, look, Bishop, Friday, we will travel to Cape Town. Maputo to Cape Town, you have to fly 2 hours. So we just go and be there and check ourselves into hotels and club the whole weekend. And then we'll take it and come back. Yes. And the parents didn't know anything about that. Yeah, students. So even in the kingdom of darkness, they also pray by this principle. They will not allow you to just be in your house and just be there. They will take you for a retreat to go and fool around. Yes. And they inflict you with more wickedness and baptize you into more evil. Yes. So if God is also organizing you to be here for 3 powerful days, are you not blessed already? Yes. Sit down. So as for many, many are called. Many are called means large numbers of people are called. Large numbers of people are called. Many are called means the masses are called. Many are called means huge numbers of people are called. Many are called means numerous people are called. Many are called means countless people are called. Many are called means lots of people have been called. Many means the majority of the people are called. Many are called means most of the people are called. Most of the people are called. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. And the reason why it seems as though few people are called is because many churches don't emphasize on what I am teaching you about or what we are learning. Yes. You see, thank God that you are part of this church. Yes. Thank God that you are part of this church. Because for many of us, if God has not ordered ourselves to be part of this church, we will never ever become pastors. We will never ever know that and even use. Because you become what you hear. Yes, you become what you hear. What you hear is what actually makes you who you become. That's why Dr. Steve went to university, do you see, as a student. But for 7 years, of the things he heard, made him a doctor and made him a gynecologist. What you hear is what makes you. Yes. That's why in our church, we emphasize on serving God. Serving God. And thank God for the pastor God has given to us. I'm telling you. Because a lot of us, including myself, will never. Do you know my vision in life? My vision was to be a professional footballer. Oh, yes. And I was at it. Yes. That was my vision. But I don't know how far I've gone. And even if I went into it, I'm sure I would have retired a long time ago. Yes. But it was in the church that I heard the prophet preaching. That was my second time of encountering him in our church, our branch in Kumasi. And he was teaching from Matthew chapter 28. Yes. And he was explaining to us how Ghana became a Christian nation. And how missionaries were sent from Switzerland, the Basel mission. How they sent missionaries to Ghana and came and Christianized the whole nation. And after, some 2 weeks after, from malaria. And he was explaining what they had to go through to bring the gospel to Ghana. And how they translated the Bible into our local languages. I mean, I was sitting in the congregation. I was so charged and challenged. I said, wow. So this is what cost people for my salvation. Now, remember at the end of the service, prophet made an altar call. He said, listen, if there is anybody here who wants God to use you one day as a missionary, that God will send you somewhere and also go and live your life to save people, to save others, to be a blessing to others, come, I want to pray for you. I was just 19 years, almost 20 years. Wow. And I went forward. I came forward. Then he prayed a general prayer, but just before he sent us away, he came and laid hands on me and said, Lord, use little boy one day as a missionary. After that service, I don't know what happened to me. I lost me to become anything else except to be a missionary. Yes. Yes. This is 1999. I took my football boots, everything, I went and threw them away. I went to my pastor and I told my pastor that I want to go to a Bible school in Accra. Wow. But he knew that I had also just received my admission letter to go to university. So then he advised me that I should go to university. And that whilst I'm in the university, I will still have the opportunity to learn more about ministry and everything. That's the advice. And I went to university. From 19 and 6 years after, I was in Mozambique. Yes. I was on a mission for the 6 years after prophet prayed for me. I went. So I'm saying that it's because I found myself in a church where the pastor preached about the call and ministry and what is important to God is very dear to God that I heard the call. If I was in another church, probably I would hear the call to acquire more money, more whatever, to have more, become money conscious person. Just like in many churches, you know, the emphasis is on money, success, prosperity. So you see that the whole church is full of people who are paying for things on earth. When Jesus said, lay up not treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven. Yes. So I'm telling you, you are in one of the best churches. Do you understand? You are in a good church, in a good place, where you are being taught, encouraged to serve God, to rise up and allow God to use you and become something in the hands of God. Look at the book I'm preaching from, Many Accord. How many books have you seen? Christian books have titles like this, talking about calling. It's not common. It's not common. So many people are called. Many. When you turn on your television, you see a crowd have gathered. Look into the crowd and say to yourself that many are called. Many. The masses, the thousands of people, millions of people you see have gathered. The many of them God has called them. Only that they haven't heard the call. Because nobody has taught them. Nobody has explained to them. Nobody has shown them that they are really called. Yes. You know, one time Jesus was explaining about the kingdom again. Sit down. The kingdom, Matthew chapter 20. That in this kingdom, look at the Matthew 20 verse 1. He said, and the heaven is like unto a man that has a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. So in this kingdom, God is looking for laborers for his vineyard. The kingdom you are part of, he's always hiring, looking for people to hire. People to serve. I say you can be in a church where you will never hear anybody talking about laboring, serving, shedding. Oh, God bless the prophet. God bless the prophet. God bless. God really, really bless the prophet. I'm telling you. Yes. I mean, if you want to know a pastor who has the heart of God, you are looking at our prophet. Yes. He has the heart of God there. God's heart is what he carries. Yes, if you read a scripture, you know the type of pastor we have. A man that is who went out early in the morning to hire laborers. He's looking for people to serve God, to serve in God's vineyard. Verse 2. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into the vineyard. That God, Jesus is also showing in this kingdom, anything you do has a reward. Yes, God is a rewarder. God is a rewarder. In Hebrews 11 verse 6, he said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And he that cometh to God, Hebrews 11 says, must believe that he is a rewarder. God is a rewarder. God is a rewarder. And that's what Jesus explained, that in the kingdom that we are part of, God gives you salary. He rewards you for every labor, every effort you make in God's vineyard, in God's kingdom. God rewards you. Go back. We are Matthew chapter 20. Verse 3. I want to show you something. And he went about the third hour and saw at a standing idol in the marketplace. Nothing to do. Do you see? And Jesus said, go you also into the vineyard. And whatsoever is right, I will give you. Again, he emphasized on rewards. That go and do something. Don't just stand here aloof. Just go and also put your hand to the plow and contribute to the vineyard. Do something. Stop standing here idling, doing nothing in the church, in the kingdom. You say you are born again, you are a Christian, you are part of God's kingdom, and you are idling, doing nothing, contributing nothing to the kingdom. Jesus says it's not right. Say it is not right. So you to go. And whatsoever is right, I'll give you. And they went their way. If ever you are told, go and do something. Verse 5. You see, he has never stopped asking for people to serve. Well, he still, if you're a pastor, this is one of your main areas of your calling. You have to keep looking, hiring people to come. So you see that he never stopped at the third hour. Do you see? On the sixth hour, he has gone. Ninth hour, he did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle. So no matter the time of the day or the season of life and ministry, there will always be people who will be standing idling, doing nothing. That's why our work is to keep on recruiting and encouraging people to serve God, to come to the vineyard and do something. That is the work of the householder. But look at verse 7. Serpent. They said unto him, because he asked them, why standing here idle? They said unto him, no man has hired us. Oh. No man has told us that God can use us. No man has told us, many are called, but few are chosen. No man has told us. No man, no pastor has told us. No shepherd has told us. Nobody has told us. They have told us to lay more treasures on earth here. They have told us to prosper, make more money. They have been teaching about financial things. So our minds have been to what about to come and serve God, do something for God and his vineyard. Nobody has hired us. Nobody. That's why I'm saying that thank God for the life of the prophet. Because if you are part of this ministry, you can never say no man has hired us. You can never say that no man has hired us. You are the one who is not serious. You are the one who is stubborn. Look at us gathering here in UK. Over 500 people have gathered here. And what are we talking about? We are talking about serving God, working for God. We are talking about the call of God. You cannot say no man has hired us. You cannot say. That's why our judgment will be very different from others. Oh yes. The books that have been written, it makes our judgment become more severe. Because the Bible says, to whom much is given, much will be required. Yes. We just came from a church planters camp last week. In Ghana, over 700 people gathered. And all that they were being taught was about church planting. How many churches gather people to teach about church planting? They never hear a word like this or a word like that. But here, you cannot say, no man has hired us. That's serious. Testimony, you can never say no man has hired us. Nobody has told you that you can be a shepherd. You can be a basenta leader. You can be a disciple making minister. You can be a pastor. How can you say that? When you are part of this church. No, 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 no. You can never say that. Yes. Sit down. Yes. You were hired. But you didn't go. But look at it. He said, and then Jesus said unto them, he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. Whatsoever is right. That's the reward for your serving God. You are giving what is called whatsoever is right. Whatsoever is right. So as you are serving God, as you are working his vineyard, God looks into your life. And then he has a discussion with the angels. They say, what will be right for this sister? Oh, she has finished school. She has a good job. But he doesn't have a husband. Oh, angel, arrange a nice brother for her. Yes. Speak to the brother to go and propose to her. Whatsoever is right. Angels, she's struggling with her health. Send her the angel of healing. Whatsoever is right. She needs healing, a healthy body. A body prepared to serve God. Do you understand my message? Jesus is the one who said, in this kingdom you are giving whatsoever is right. Because what may be right for you may not be right for somebody. You may need a husband, but somebody, your colleague is married already, doesn't need one. She may need something else. So God knows more than what you need. That's why he told the disciples that, hey, don't think of what to eat and what to drink and what to wear. No, 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 no. That's how the Gentiles all behave. But you, as a child of God, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all and his righteousness and all other things. God knows your needs more than you do know. Yes. He will give you whatsoever is right. Practically. That's the first. He gives you whatsoever is right. Ask your neighbor, whatsoever is right. God is giving it to you now. As you serve in his vineyard. Yes. So this is something that should encourage you. That's why hardly would you see a sister who is seriously serving God and is trying to get a beloved. Hardly. Or a brother. Seriously serving God. Following God. Active in the God, in the house of God. Ah! It will be the least of your problems. Easily painting your face. Painting your face. Adjusting your bodies. Trying to look like Kim Kardashian. And the good brothers are not seeing it. They are not attracted to it. At all. Sisters, I'm giving you the secret. Serve God in the vineyard. Do something for God. Be active in a ministry. And you attract them. Where do you think I met my wife? It was in the church. The first time I saw her, she was serving first timers. Yes. She was serving first timers. She must be around 16 or 17 years. Yes. Huh? That's what it means. Serve God. Yes. You become attractive to the right people. Yes. One sister came to me and said, Bishop, and I think you have to pray for me. I said, what is the problem? He said, I don't know why. Only married people are proposing to me. What a shock. So I asked her a question. Cold food and hot food, which one attracts flies? She said, cold food. I said, because you are too cold spiritually. Any food you see flies dancing around, it means the food is cold. But when the food is hot and you see the heat and vapor coming, you don't see the flies around. So you are not fervent in the spirit. You are too cold in the spirit. That's why you have all these ragamuffin rascals coming dancing around. And then you see even the brothers, the kind of lady they are attracted to. Hey! Hey! It shows that spiritually you are very cold. How can such a lady be attractive to you? What do you see? But you see, as you serve God, you see that you'll be on fire. Yes. Yes, you serve God. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Sit down. Are you here? You have gone home. Are you enjoying yourself? Romans 12, verse 11. He said, not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Fervent in spirit. It means you are hot for Jesus. Spiritually hot. You're on fire. What can stand against fire? Yes. That's God's wisdom for us. That's why God doesn't want anybody to be idle. In this kingdom, idleness is a sin. It's a sin. Yes. Idleness is a sin. So if you're in the chair, you do nothing. I'm telling you, you are committing one of the most terrible, abominable things in the kingdom. And if you ain't... Yes. In Ezekiel, he said, these are the sins of your sister Sodom. Sodom, what we know as Sodom. One of the main problems, apart from the abundance of bread, they used to eat a lot. You see, when you eat too much, do you get it? Demons will invade your life. Yeah, Ezekiel 16 verse 4. Said, behold, this was the iniquity. Sit down. This was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. You see, before homosexuality and all these things were introduced into the system, this was the sin that brought all those things. Number one, fullness of bread. You eat too much. That's a disadvantage you have in this part of the world. Is that there's too much trouble. Yes. That's why some of you are not fervent in the spirit. You have beggar, pizza, so many things available. Oh, don't understand my message. When Paul was talking about his problems he faced in life and ministry, one of them, he said that in fasting often and in hunger often, they are two different things. Fasting means you have food, but you have decided that you won't eat. You are waiting on God. And hunger means you have no choice. There's no food. Yes. If you follow God, you experience it. Yes. When I was on the mission field, my wife is here, she will tell you, there was a time we used to eat gari and pepper. Do you know gari and pepper? You see, you don't know because you are in a place where there's abundance of bread. Reverend Chidi says it's called cassava flakes. Yes. Anytime I went to Ghana, I would carry a suitcase of gari. Yes. They will grind pepper and get some sardine and then the water on the sardine. Yes. I didn't like it. It's not one of the food I like at all, but I had to learn how to eat it. With my wife, yes. Do you understand? And there were times before she joined, I would be in the house, there's no food. And I'll be lying on my hall. I've turned the hunger into by force fasting. One day a brother came to my house, one of my new converts came to my house. He went to my kitchen. I don't know what he was looking for. He came and said, Pastor, you're dry. There's nothing here. He went to open the fridge. No water, no drink, nothing. Empty. The kitchen, no smell of food. He said to me, I'm coming. Before I realized, he has gone to do shopping. Brought so much food. Rice, oil, dates, corn, everything. So I said to him, of God, there must be a lot of food in your house. So that when you get visited, they will have something to eat. Yes. Some of you eat too much. Every day you are biting something. Paul said the kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking. But you have turned the kingdom of God into meat, eating and drinking. You can't fast. If the church is not fasting, you will never fast. And these days, the type of fasting that young people have chosen to do, I don't get it. This fasting that every 2 hours you are drinking juice. What are all these? For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but you are into meat and drink. Always eating and always drinking. You say you are fasting, but you end up eating more than when you were not fasting. Is it true or a true? Because your environment is saturated with fullness of bread. It's true. For these are the sins of your sister Sodom. Pride, number one, pride. Pride. Do you see? Yeah, because of where you are, can make you proud, make you feel better and better. You can't go anywhere in the world apart from being here. I was talking to one brother. He said that in America, I said, oh, everybody wants to come to America. Why should I leave America? I said, you are suffering from pride. Pride. Fall down so that people can see. Fullness of and the abundance of idleness was in her. And in her daughters. This is why if you're a parent, you must make sure your daughters are not idly in the house of God. Yes, it's dangerous. Okay. The world we are in now, it will be in your own interest to get your children to be busy in the church. Yes, than even to be busy with books. I'm telling you. When daughters are idling, it's dangerous. These days, you see holding phone, the things they do with phones. I don't know what's in her and in her daughters. Her means the whole city. Yes. Even Lot, he was busy until he went to Sodom. And he sat at a gate playing with the people. They were playing draft. Do you know draft? Dame. Checkers. Checks. Or checkers. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Sat there doing nothing. Has joined them. It's dangerous to have a church full of idle hands. I'm telling you. Any church that is full of idleness is full of evil. Yes, especially young people. If you don't engage them and make them to serve God. Yes, thank God for the First Love Church. And thank God for the Love Fest, which has just also begun. Yes. And thank God for UD Fest. This is UD Fest. The young people in the UD. Yes. UD First. Yes. This is UD First Camp. This is UD First Camp. Yes. Because if you don't do that, Satan will occupy our young people with evil. Yes. With evil. If you are busy working for God, you don't have time for foolishness. You rather, you are worried that 24 hours is too small in a day. Because you sleep, you know, you wake up, you are doing that, you haven't finished, and then another day has come. It's quite worrying. So that is why in the kingdom, idleness. Jesus said the master went around looking. Said, why stand here idle? Why? It's a question. Because you cannot be. It's dangerous. It's unacceptable. It's inappropriate that you are part of God's kingdom and you are doing nothing. No. It cannot be. It cannot be. Hallelujah. Ask your neighbor, what do you do in church? By the way. By the way, what do you do in church? Are you on one of those idle hands? Are you one of those standing in the marketplace, idling, doing nothing? Seriously? And as a person, do you want the blessing of what's right is right? There are people at the back. I don't feel you. There are people at the back. I don't feel you. Even at this camp, you are still idling. Sit down. So anytime you remember Sodom, you have to remember their sin. See, the original sin is what I'm describing to you. It's what provoked what we know as sodomy. Yeah. These were the real sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. And opened the door for other devils and demons. Yes. So you see in nations where they don't, Christianity is almost like forbidden and they are fighting Christianity, especially in Europe here. You see that other devils are taking over the lives of young people. Yes. That's why in our church, especially in this part of the world, we are fighting for young people to serve God. And it's the best vision for your life. Yes. It's for your salvation, the salvation of your family, everything. Yeah. Because you see, whether you like it or not, you'll be made to serve something. You'll be made to serve something. Something will be your God. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. So there are two masters that everybody is made to choose one. And whoever becomes your master determines what you will do or what he will let you do. So may God help us to serve him. Yes. Yes. So that's the first fact about the God, that many are called. Yes. Many are called. The masses are called. Just that they don't know. They don't know because nobody has told them. Nobody has hired them. And I'm saying that if you are part of this family, you can never say so. You can never say you didn't know that you are called. But look at me standing here, an ordinary person whose vision was to be a footballer. I'm here preaching to you. In another church, the pastor would have encouraged me to be a wild footballer. Oh, yes. Go all out. You'll be anointing my boots and washing my feet with oil. Hey. Sometimes when I ask myself, so even if they give you all these monies, what how? Honestly. Huh? Cristiano Ronaldo gets about 1 million, 7 million a week or something. I mean, what are you going to do with all this? Which car in the world would you want to drive? And when you drive it, I mean, how? Then what? After that, what? You sit in the car, you have to still drive, you change the gear. It's not like somebody will carry you and put you in and drive you. And it's, I mean, it's the same thing everywhere. Imagine that everybody has died, the whole world. You are the only one who is alive, and all the monies have been kept for you. You think about that. They have given you all the money. Everybody is gone. You have everything. You will see that when Jesus said that a man's life does not consist of the abundance of the things he possesses. That's not your life. Your life is not made up to possess things. If anything at all, to give away things, to give your life. The essence of living is giving. Yes, that's the essence of life. But not to possess and to have. That's why Jesus said, nobody took my life. I gave it. That's the essence of life. To give your life to a worthy cause. Let your life count. And live your life to be a blessing. God said to Abraham, I will bless you to become a blessing. That's the essence of life. And that's how God has made every living thing. Yes. The tree receives life from the soil and then also gives oxygen. Our students, are you here? No matter how delicious the food you eat is, you can't keep everything in the stomach. Some has to go out. I said, when you say you will not let it go out, it means problems. One for yourself and one for everybody around. Or you still don't understand my message. So I like the food. The food is so nice. Thank God it was so nice. But after 6 hours, it will start having a discussion with you. That even though the food is nice, you still have to go and give some away. Yes, you still have to go and give some away. Oh no, I'm not going to give some away. How can I eat something so nice and you want me to get? I'll keep everything in my belly. Really? Be careful now. If you realize you're having stomach pain, discomfort, the atmosphere. You still don't understand my message. You want me to explain further? All right. Sister Philippa said I shouldn't explain further. You understand. Sit down. That's how your life becomes. When all that you are doing is acquiring, receiving, possessing, and not giving some away. Yeah. That's not the essence of life. God has made us in such a way that whatever you receive, some must be given. Yes. So that should be your focus. Some people want to possess everything. And they will do anything that can make them to possess. Yes. The highest level of wisdom is not to possess things, but to use things. Oh, yes. Okay. To use things. Yeah. God will bless you to possess him, but will have the ability to use things. You don't need it, you don't use it. Somebody's like, I want to have a private jet. Private jet. It will be better to just use it than to possess one. Because the wahala it brings by possessing, do you understand? It should have been better to just use it when you need it. Or you don't understand my message. Yeah. Even where to park it. You need mechanics. You need so many things. Wahala. Adding to your many problems in life. A man's life. Jesus said, beware of covetousness. Yes. Beware of covetousness. The desire to have more is a very dangerous thing. It's a warning. You want to have more degrees. More degrees. That's your life's aim. Masters in this, masters in that, masters in that, PhD in that. Why? Studying everything except the Bible. Knowledge of everything. Politics, banking, this, medicine, science, except the Bible. Except the Bible. Take heed. And he said unto them, take heed. Take heed. Beware of covetousness. Be aware that there is something called covetousness. The desire to have. Careful. That thing, be very careful. That desire to have more. More cars. More this. More that. More this. More that. More this. More that. He said, that desire, be very, very careful. These are the words of Jesus, not the words of Apostle Paul. This is the Son of God himself. He said, that thing, beware. Be very careful. Take heed. It's a warning. And he explains that a man's life does not, consisted not in the abundance of the things he possesses. So what then? So your life consists of what? That's the question. So there's something more than just possessing things in life. Your real life is not possessing, rather using. Your vision in life must be to serve God. I'm telling you, brothers. That's why God has called many people. Yes, and I'm showing you so that from this camp, your mind should be made up that I'm going as a young person. I'm not going to play the fool. This is the best time of your life. This is the best time of your life. This is the best time of your life. I went on mission at the age of 26, and I've been in Mozambique for 20 years. This month will be my 20th year. Yes. I left Accra on 25th August 2005 at 10:55 p.m. Yes. And at 10 a.m. 26th August 2005, I was at Mozambique Airport. And when I got there, I had only a suitcase. Suitcase. Three pieces of underwear. The rest were tapes and books. You see, those days we didn't have this, iBooks and all those things. I wish we had. So my suitcase was books and tapes and Bibles, concordance, different Bibles, big Bible. My things were just those materials. When I arrived at the immigration, the custom people opened my bag and said, hey, are you coming to sell books and this cassettes here? Are you coming to do business here? I said, no. These are seeds I'm coming to plant in your country. They are seeds. Yes. I had iPad those days. Yes. My iPad has over 2,000 books. So imagine carrying 2,000 physical books. Many are called, not few. So it's very likely that you are called. Yes. And you know why God has called you? Because he likes you. Oh, he likes you. God really likes you. You don't know. I read Ephesians chapter 2. with his great love wherein he has loved us. Yes. God really likes you to have called you. And then number two, God sees something good in you. Yes, God sees something good in you. God really sees something good. Every one of you sitting here, God really sees something good in you. I'm telling you. Paul, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. He said, listen, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, God has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful. That's what God saw in Paul. He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. God sees something good in you. He counted me faithful. Yes. God's counted me faithful. God has counted you faithful. Dr. Steve, God has counted you faith. That's why he has put you in a ministry. Good thing God saw about us. Faithful means to be dependable. It's like God can depend on you. He can depend on you to save people, to teach people, to preach to people. He counted you faithful. That's why the faithfulness is the principal qualification of every minister. Yes, that's that thing God looks into. Not your goodness. Good? You know you are not good. You know it. Tell the truth. Especially those who wear glasses. You know? When you wear glasses, it makes you look very nice, holy. Yes. I mean, when we were in school, almost all the prefects were wearing glasses. Yes. It shows two things. It's like you are more studious. You have studied, your eyes is even affected. So you are a serious student. And number two, it makes you look very, very innocent and something, something. Yes. But God is not choosing you because you are wearing glasses. That makes you look very good and very nice. He's choosing you because he finds you faithful. He can depend on you. He can count on you. He can trust you to execute the work. Yes. That upon you he can. God choose because I'm good? No, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Verse 13, who was before? He said, in case you want to, you are thinking that maybe I'm a good person, that's why God chose me. He said, these are my credentials. Before I was a blasphemer. I spoke against holy things. I stood against holy things. I criticized holy things. And a persecutor. He persecuted the church. Pastors were running away from the city because of Paul. Yes. Persecuted the church. Apostles were running. Hiding. And in Jairus, he was arresting pastors. He caused the death of Apostle Stephen, a man who was full of faith and the Spirit. You were standing there when they were mobilizing stones. Shouting, kill him, kill him. Shouting, kill him, stone him. That was his credentials. But God saw something good in him. This guy, he's so dedicated to what he believes. Do you understand? Some of you, the way you were so committed to sin, it is in that same vein God has saved you so that you'll be also committed to that which is good. You are very faithful to the devil, eh? You see, some of you brothers, you are expert of divisionizing ladies. Oh, yes. What? I said, but I obtained mercy. Put your hand and say, mercy. Because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Yes. Mercy. Dr. Steve. Are you here? You have gone home. Yes. So I'm just explaining how God, apart from liking you, he also sees something good in you. Yes. There's something great about you. Yeah. Believe it. Yes. There's something. That's why you should not disappoint him and break his heart after he has shown you so much mercy and counting on you. Then you are sitting in the church. You won't do anything. Plenty of opportunities are being given. Start a church. Plant a church. Look, after this camp, a lot of you are going to plant churches. Yes, you are going to give yourself to church planting. Amen. You'll be somewhere. You'll be gathering people. You should have at least 60 people you are going to preach and minister to. Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. We are now going back into real church planting and real church work. You watch and see. The whole UK will be littered with churches. Yes. And you are the church. Prophet has just introduced one church, one building, one pastor, one crown, 60 members. Say one church, one building, one pastor, one crown, 60 members. Yes. It's a good vision. Some of the best lady pastors are here. I'm introducing you. You will never be good for nothing. You will not be good at just braiding your hair.
Amen.
And tying your hair.
Amen.
And frying eggs.
Amen.
You'll be good at preaching.
Amen.
Overseeing.
Amen.
Shepherding.
Amen.
Pastoring.
Amen.
And leading.
Amen.
Yes. That's why the whole master's in our convener is a lady pastor. Oh, yes. All right. Yes. So a lady can serve God. Can serve, yes. Yes. And she's been doing it since the days of university. It's not only yesterday. Not today. Past 20 today. That should encourage you. Yes. Amen. And she's not serving God because she's not beautiful. Is she not beautiful? Yes. All right, all right, all right, all right. Yeah. Some of you think that those who are not beautiful are the ones who serve God. Because one day a sister told the ladies that it's because you are not beautiful, that's why you are serving God. Oh yes, real story. Yes. He said, you are not as beautiful as me, that's why you are serving God. And told her that because if you are beautiful, guys will worry, you will not have time to serve God. It's not true. Yes. It's because you are not anointed. Because you are not anointed. That's why you are not serving God. When you are anointed, you serve God. Yes. When you are anointed, you become a servant of God. Yes. The anointing makes you serve. You cannot be anointed and not serve. Yes. And anybody who serves, God will anoint you. You see, God is holding a bottle of oil in the realms of the spirit. And he's looking for servants. He's looking for servants. Those who want to serve you and those who are serving him. In Psalm 89 verse 20, he said, I have found David my servant. And with my holy oil have I anointed him. Oh, Rama Shika Rabasita Rabaranda Shika Rabaranda Sika Rabarabab. I see a bottle of oil in the realms of the spirit. Receive your portion of the oil, the anointing. Lemari katabusi le baraka tasita la barabala. In the name of Jesus, Shanda Rebasiando Rubrande and Shika Rabranda. Remazi la bo shakila bariba rokata leba. Limaraka la solo. Everybody pray for the anointing. Leba reka laba. Shikareka rekabusa lea malida. Arriba reka tubalonde. Ah, libariando se la brondesh. Father, anoint your servants. The servants' room. Let them receive fresh oil. Fresh oil. Fresh anointing and fresh oil. Oh, let the oil fall on them. Mali bara katala. Ri bazi mare katula me rabara bosa tianda. Shandare karata le borota lada. Li mare karabos leba. Ah, with your holy oil. With your holy oil. Let it be anointed, O God. Anointed to serve you, Lord. Mali bare karata le mare karada yada. Ibare shalabora kata imari yada. Ibaria kata le bare karabaya. Sore bere 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 babara kade karaba. Mandoro bose kaye bare karaba baba. Re bare yanda ze bare karia babaya. Sore bere. Receive the oil. Ah, there's a hand in the building with a bottle of oil. Receive your portion in the name of Jesus. Oh, David said, thou shalt anoint me with fresh oil. Receive fresh oil over your life and your ministry. In the name of Jesus. Lema reba rosa le la caraba seta leba. Shandara bozande rebarando yati lebrikata ya babaya. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you. Take your seat.